Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Next week marks the 50th anniversary of one of the most important civil rights events in U.S. history— the 1963 March on Washington, where a quarter of a million people came to see the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. deliver his iconic I Have a Dream speech from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial.
It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment, this sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning.
Georgia Congressman John Lewis was also there. He's 73 years old today, but then he was just 23, the youngest speaker at the massive rally. You'll be hearing a lot about the march over the coming days, but we thought we'd share this wonderful story Congressman Lewis told us when he recently visited the Kennedy Presidential Library in Dorchester. It's the story of how Lewis first met King after the 1955 Montgomery bus boycott.
I grew up as a young child in rural Alabama, about 50 miles from Montgomery. I heard his voice on the old radio when I was 15 years old in the 10th grade. I heard about the Montgomery bus boycott. I heard about Rosa Parks. And seemed like Dr. King was speaking directly to me, saying, John Lewis, you two can do something. You two can make a contribution. And I wanted to meet this man. I wanted to meet him. So 2 years later, when I finished high school, I applied to enter a little college 10 miles from my home called Troy State College. It is now known as Troy University. Submitted my application, my high school transcript. I never heard a word from the school. It didn't admit black students. So I wrote a letter to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and told him I needed his help. I didn't tell any of my teachers. I didn't tell my mother, my father, any of my sisters or brothers. Dr. King wrote me back and sent me a round-trip Greyhound bus ticket and invited me to come to Montgomery to meet with him. In the meantime, I'd been accepted at a little college in Nashville, Tennessee. So I went off to school there, and one of my teachers, one of my professors, who had studied with Dr. King in Atlanta, I told him about it. He informed Dr. King that I was in school there. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. got back in touch and stated that when I was home for spring break to come and see him. So in March of 1958, by this time I'm 18 years old, my father drove me to the Greyhound bus station. I boarded the bus and traveled the 50 miles from Troy to Montgomery. And a young lawyer, young African-American lawyer, I've never seen a lawyer before, the lawyer for Rosa Parks, for Dr. King, and the Montgomery Movement, met me at the Greyhound bus station and drove me to the First Baptist Church downtown Montgomery, pastor by the Reverend Ralph Abernathy, a colleague of Dr. King. This church had been bombed during the bus boycott. Ushered me into the pastor's study of the office of the church. I saw Martin Luther King Jr. and Reverend Ralph Abernathy standing behind a desk. I was so afraid. I didn't know what to say or what to do. And Dr. King spoke up and said, "Are you the boy from Troy? Are you John Lewis?" And I said, "Dr. King, I am John Robert Lewis." So from that day on, he started calling me the boy from Troy. I love this man. He inspired me. He was my inspiration. He was my hero. He was my big brother. If it hadn't been for him, I don't know what would have happened to me or what would have happened to America.
Georgia Congressman John Lewis. 50 years ago, thousands of Bostonians also traveled down to Washington to march on the nation's capital and listen to Martin Luther King. Next week, we'll talk with some of them about what it was like that day in 1963 and about race in America and Massachusetts a half century later.
And stay with us. Still to come, a growing number of Boston area tech firms offer employees unlimited vacations. Not bad, but is it a good idea for other companies? I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.